IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast supported by Pragati, a flagship media initiative of the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like to bring fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and an Indian perspective to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Welcome to All Things Policy. There's an adage, perhaps really a cliche, that goes something like, amateurs talk strategy, others talk logistics, while real professionals talk personnel. Now, you know, some cliches do reveal truths, but this is a pretty bad one because I think professionals worth their while will talk about all of the above. They'll talk about strategy, they'll talk about logistics, and they will talk about personnel because all of these things matter. But I'm bringing up this cliche because it does introduce the issue of personnel. And today I'm joined by a professional PLA watcher, Suyash Desai. And we're going to talk about some significant changes that President Xi Jinping has made in the People's Liberation Army. And we'll also move on to other connected issues, especially related to the Western Theater Command, which borders India. So welcome, Suyash, and let's get right to it. President Xi Jinping has promoted five military officers to the rank of general earlier this month, September. And in July, he had promoted another four general. So that's a total of nine. And as I understand it, these officers were appointed to important positions in charge of leading theater commands as well as individual services. Can you first tell us about what these appointments are and what is the significance of them?
Hi, thanks, Amit. That was a very kind introduction. Yes, as you have rightly pointed out, a lot of changes are happening in China's. There are multiple reasons. We'll deep dive into that later. But broadly, as we head towards the 20th Party Congress, we can expect a few more changes happening. As you have already pointed out, five changes happened in September, that is on 6th September 2021, and earlier, four changes happened in July. So in the latest round of promotions, that is on, before I talk about promotion, there is an important thing that is to be remembered for PLA watchers, listeners, or people who are interested in studying or understanding about Chinese army. Generals are generally the head of theater commands or services. Lieutenant generals are generally heads of military districts. And major generals are generally heads of sub-military districts. In case of Xinjiang, there are different military districts. That's why Sao Liulin, or Indians, because of the standoff, know Liulin. And he is a major general. So generally, military districts are headed by lieutenant general, and sub-military districts are headed by major generals. Now, a lot of promotions this month happened regarding people moving from lieutenant general command to general's command. So I'll just introduce these promotions. Wang Haiqing will command henceforth. Wang Haiqing, Liu Xiangyang, Tong Chun, Chang Ding Chui, and Xu Shui Qiang. These were the five officers who were promoted from lieutenant general to generals. Now, Wang Haiqi will be the head of Western Theater Command. Western Theater Command has a responsibility with India. He was previously Tibet Military District's commander. After that, he was Xinjiang Military District's commander. And now he is appointed as the head of Western Theater Command. Liu Xiangyang will command the Central Theater Command. Central Theater Command is like a logistic hub which is responsible for protection of Beijing and supply, backup supply to other four theater commands. Tong Chun will command the PLA Navy, a service that is to be watched out for going ahead because of all the reforms that are happening in PLA Navy and in PLA Air Force due to the doctrinal ambitions or the doctrinal commands that have come out for PLA Navy and PLA Air Force to be a long-ranged force. Chang Ting Chui will command the PLA Air Force. Again, the same thing. It is something to be watched out for. And this, the fifth one, is very interesting. Xu Shui Qiang will head the National Defense University. So National Defense University is equally important university. It is responsible for science of military strategy. A part of it is responsible for science of military strategy. And a lot of defense innovation happens in this university. Why are these promotions of great value? Because as I've already pointed out, we are heading towards the 20th Party Congress, and that is why a lot of changes are expected going ahead. What are the reasons? This is the important reason for this promotion, but also age is something that has to be carefully looked at while understanding why these promotions happened. So all the generals who will be succeeded now, these generals are in the bracket of 63 to 65 years old. Most of them are not 65, which is a retirement age for generals in the PLA. So we don't know where they are going from here. But the newer crop of generals that have come up in the two recent promotions that you have already pointed out, they are very young generals. For example, the newly appointed Air Force general is just 54 years old. So they are between 54 to 59. That says a lot that Xi Jinping is looking for a younger crop of generals who could stay with him for next 5 years going ahead. So this is something very important. And this also gives us a cue to what could possibly happen with the CMC as we go towards 20 Party Congress. Generally, the structure of CMC, not the structure, but the personnel in the CMC changes as we head towards the new Party Congress. Current, there are two vice chairmen in the CMC. CMC is the body which commands the PLA under the party. It's under the party. Xi Jinping heads that body. So as we head towards the 20th Party Congress, these the two important vice chairmen who are second in command with the CMC could also change because they are 71 years. So these, if age is a factor, then these are the two upcoming changes that could happen. Also, there are other important positions to watch out for if age is the factor for this change. So, for instance, the position of PLA Air Force's political commissar. Political commissar, so in PLA, there are two important positions in any service or a theater command or any unit. It's the commander who is the head of the unit and is the political commissar who is the second in command of the unit, but also important for promoting values and maintaining discipline within that unit. So, for the PLA Air Force, the PLA Air Force's political commissar could change going ahead because he is already 65 years old, which is, as I pointed out earlier, it is a retirement age for generals in the PLA. So he can retire. PLA Rocket Force's commander can retire going ahead. This is something important because Rocket Force, you study nuclear weapons, you know the value of PLA RF for China. It is a strategic force. So his commander is 64 years old. That is something that could change. The head of equipment department for military commission, CMC. That is something to watch out for. Head of equipment department is responsible. The equipment department is responsible for maintenance of all the weaponry that the PLA has commissioned or is commissioning or will commission in the future. So these are the important positions besides the CMC positions that are to be watched out for going ahead. But broadly, to sum up what I have said, there are few promotions that have happened in the past. A few promotions could happen in the future, except few. Age could possibly be a factor for all the changes that are happening or have happened recently. I'm sure you'll ask about Western Theater Command when I say except a few, Aditya.
Yeah, exactly. That's really interesting because, you know, you've talked about so many changes already. And you've also pointed out that we can expect even more of these changes over the next 1 year. So we'll have the 20th Party Congress, presumably around October, November of next year, which is 2022. So we can expect even more churn. And, you know, apparently, like you told me earlier, this is the fourth change in the leadership in China's Western Theater Command. And that's, of course, the one that, you know, borders India. It's the one that straddles Tibet as well as the Xinjiang military districts. What is the possible reason for so many changes? I mean, you know, you've talked about age over here, but, you know, that just prompts me to ask, why does age matter? Because, you know, in civil military relations, age can matter either for military effectiveness or for political reasons. Which one is it? Or is it both? Or is it neither?
That's a very interesting question, Aditya. I'll start with Western Theater Command and then I'll come to the age factor of it.
Sure.
I don't think, at least related to the Western Theater Command, age is a factor. I'll then briefly why. But just rewinding a bit, so Cao Chongqi was appointed as the WTC. I'll refer to Western Theater Command as WTC going forward. WTC commander in early 2016. This is very important because this is early 2016 is when theater commands had started forming. So if we recall earlier, there were military regions, which were seven military regions, which were converted into theater commands. So Lanzhou and Chengdu military regions were merged together to form the Western Theater Command responsible for India, along with Xinjiang and Tibet military districts. So Cao was responsible, he was the theater command head since 2016, and he was the theater command and head until December 2023. So invariably, he was the head when the standoff, the recent standoff started happening. And he was also the head when 2017 standoff with Doklam, India-China standoff at Doklam happened. But he retired in 2020. He was 65. So 65 is the age, as I've already pointed out, 65 is the age of retirement for a general. In the PLA, you can only be in the system if you are taken into CMC later on in the central party, obviously the 7-member seat of the CMC. That is when you can extend if you are appointed there. Otherwise, generally, they retire at 65. So he retired in December 2020. Zhang Shutong, the former deputy commander of the Central Theater Command, was then appointed as the WTC commander in December 2020. This is in the middle of the standoff. However, it is interesting to note, Zhang only stayed in the office for 6 months until June. We don't know the reason why he was changed, but he was replaced by someone called as Shu Qiling in July this year. So first was Cao Chongyi, who stayed for 4 or 5 years. Then Zhang Shudong, who was appointed in December, who stayed until July. Then Shu Qiling, who was appointed in July 2021. You remember I said four soldiers were made into generals in July. He was one of them and he was appointed as the WTC commander. This is the same time when Wang Haiqian, the current WTC commander, was appointed, was moved from Tibet to Xinjiang. And now, in 2 months' time, Shu is removed from this position and he is appointed, and Wang Haiqian has replaced Shu to be the new commander of Western Theater. What is interesting here is both Zhang Shudong, who was appointed as the WTC commander in December 2020, and Shu Qiling, who was appointed as a WTC commander in July 2021. Both of them are born in 1962 and are 59 years of age. That means at least 6 years away from the retirement. So there are multiple possibilities to understand what is happening. Once the leadership, the obvious possibility that you could take off is leadership is not happy with what is happening in the Western Theater Command. And that is why these changes are happening. Why the current theater commander, which is appointed right now, Wang Haiqian, is important? Because he was part of South Xinjiang military region, which is responsible for the Aksai Chin and Ladakh area, where all the standoffs are happening right now. He was a part of that earlier in his tenure. Then he was head of Tibet military command. And now he is head of, before Western Theater Command, he was head of Xinjiang Military Command. So the ground level experience, this is a possible, just shooting in dark, but possibly it could be said that the leadership was not happy with what was happening in the Western Theater Command. We don't have answers to what leadership was not happy with, but possibly because of the experiences and non-delivery of what is required, perhaps these changes are happening in Western Theater Command. That's reason number one. But I have another interesting theory. This is related to the domestic problems that are happening in China and Xi's political purges under his anti-corruption charges. We don't have to repeat about political purges. It's happening under every general secretary. But it has, as you know, Aditya, it has escalated. Or it has, the pace of the purging has escalated under Xi Jinping. But an important fact point here is that Chengdu and Lanzhou military regions, which together form the Western Theater Command, are the worst hit areas by Xi's anti-corruption drive. The anti-corruption drive is not only happening in the PLA, it is also happening in the party broader. This is for basically to command more political power in the system. But these two military regions, which form Western Theater Commands, are the most affected regions against the political persecution. And in Chengdu military region, which is responsible for Tibet, which was responsible for Tibet earlier on, along with Tibet military district, the largest number of both officers and personnel are under investigation. Recently, after the recent round of promotion, after 6 September, the Central Commission of Discipline Inspection, which is basically the Discipline Inspection Committee, which gained more power after she became the General Secretary, issued a joint statement with six other departments. The statement basically was a bribery blacklist, which focused on investigating and punishing five types of bribery. One among them was obstructing giving justice against the vested interest group and pressure of resistance to counterattack. So this is something very interesting. This broadly indicates that few pressure groups or peer groups were obstructing the changes that were happening, and that is why these changes could happen. So for example, if someone knows PLA, if someone has studied PLA in past 10, 20 years, they would obviously know four important leaders who had a great influence over the party. These leaders were Kuo Pok Siun, Xu Sai Hu, Fang Fang Hui, and Chang Yang. So these commanded a lot of respect and influence over the army before she came to power. And first thing that she did in this first 5 years is put all of them under different charges under his anti-corruption drive. So basically, if you put all this puzzle together, you can see or you can identify a broader trend that perhaps these moves, along with the problems on Western Theater Command, could be to reduce their influence on this region or these four or five previous commanders or influential people's generals' influence from this region. So these are basically the two things that you could think of while understanding why these changes are happening. Point number one, problems with India. Point number two, domestic politics, political forces to increase his own influence and reduce the former generals and personnel's influence in the region.
That is a phenomenal insight. It's great to be able to understand what's actually going on within the PLA, you know, when looking at it from the outside, from India over here. So we'll get back to the PLA and specifically the Western Theater Command and talk about the implications for India right after this very short break. Welcome back. We're talking about the PLA, personnel in the PLA, and more specifically about the Western Theater Command. And staying with the Western Theater Command, Suyash, there have been a few military exercises not far from the line of actual control with India in the past few months. Is there a way that we can make sense of it? Is there a pattern or trend to this?
And that's a very interesting question, Aditya. Yes. So this is a report came out recently which highlighted that more than 100 exercises, and this is not from the Chinese source, this is from the Western source. So this is basically not a propaganda. So the report highlighted that there were more than 100 military exercises that have taken place in Tibet since January this year, January 2021. And let me remind you that this is only halfway into the standoff. So our standoff started last year. So if you add up the last year as well, a lot more exercises have happened in Tibet. So, and this is very synonymous to what is happening on China's eastern periphery. So a lot of recently, another report came out. It was from SCMP, if I'm not wrong. 150 or 100 odd exercises have happened in South China Sea in the past 3 months. So broadly, yes, a lot of exercises have happened in China's Western Theater Command and Tibet Military District and Xinjiang Military District. The spike that you are seeing is not a recent one. The spike has happened since 2017 during the Doklam standoff, and it has increased after the Doklam standoff. So if you plot it on a graph, thus increase after military reforms, there was an increase. After Doklam, there was another increase to the earlier increase. And since 2019, there is a bigger escalation that is happening, and it has continued. The rise has continued since 2019. Parallelly, 2019 is also the time when a lot of infrastructure changes were concreting themselves, or a lot of infrastructure changes yielded results, military changes as well as civilian changes. So there is a definite correlation there on what is happening in China's Western Theater Command. Now, if you see doctrinal studies, if you see doctrine, that exercises are basically for two or three things. One is for propaganda, one is for influence operation, but also for sending a message in case of an escalation. Another important reason I think that exercises are happening, and which we could talk separately, is about modernization in Western Theater Command. But a lot of modernization has happened in the past few years, especially past 2 years in Western Theater Command. And that is why these exercises are happening for the Western personnel in the Western Theater Command and in the Xinjiang and Tibet military districts to get acquainted to this weaponry. And that is why they are exercising with the newer weaponry in this region. Apart from, of course, giving a signal to India, apart from influence operation, etc. This is another important reason that I think that exercises are happening.
Yeah, you know, speaking about weaponry, can you just briefly tell us about what sort of modernization the BLA has undertaken in the Western Theater Command?
Yes. So as you are aware, Aditya, a lot of changes have happened since the reform started in 2015, but the weaponry modernization started in 2011-12, which has continued under Xi. In fact, the Navy modernization started in 2008 only, but in all this, Army is the least modernized force as compared to Navy, Air Force. But all the modernization, sort of predominant military modernization that has happened in Western Theater Command, Xinjiang Military District and Tibet Military District. So first was the Tibet Military District, which is always the testing ground for the PLA. Xinjiang Military District and South Xinjiang Military District are relatively ignored as compared to Tibet Military District. So in 2017, after Doklam, a lot of changes happened in Tibet Military District. There were light tanks, there were newer artillery, there were truck-launched artillery, towed artillery, there were newer helicopters, Z-20 helicopters, which is a copy of, Black Hawk, the US's air helicopter?
Yeah,
which is a copy of the US's Black Hawk. So the newer GH-20 drones, armed drones, these are some kind of weaponries that has been installed in the Tibet Military District after 2017. The latest reports indicate that this weaponry is integrated with the district right now because it's under commissioning for past 2-3 years. So yes, but the latest news that came earlier this year, especially in, if I'm not correct, in the first quarter of this 2021, is that China has started commissioning similar newer weaponry with South Xinjiang Military District, with Xinjiang Military District and South Xinjiang Military District. Why this is important? This is the place where current standoff is happening. This is the place that is largely being ignored, relatively ignored as compared to the Tibet Military District. So similar kind of light tanks, towed artillery, drones, similar kind of weaponries have been installed in this South Xinjiang military region. It is not completely, we have no clue about whether the installation has completely finished or all the commissioning has completely finished, as it is in the case of Tibet. But yes, changes have started happening in South Xinjiang military region as well. So broadly, as I've pointed out in while answering your previous question, Aditya, so this newer weaponry personnel take time to get acquainted with this weaponry. And that is why it could be one reason that pieces or a lot of military exercises are happening in this region. Just for example, we hear news about live fire drills. So this could be with the PCL 181 artillery. So this is why a lot of exercises, I think, are happening just to match the demand and supply of weaponry coming in and people, personnel in these two regions getting acquainted with that weaponry.
That does sound like a compelling reason for these exercises. But which brings me, of course, to the question we're all asking, what does all of this mean for India?
Yes, I think going ahead, because of there are multiple reasons that India should be watchful going ahead, because newer weaponry has been installed, LAC is not defined, and because tensions are increasing, and that is why the border relations going ahead would be complicated. But also because of Xiaokang villages, where China is asserting its sovereignty over territory on the LAC that India claims due to the permanent settlement that it is doing on the border, which would again be one of the many causes for escalation on the border. So all of this and military exercises, because Indian media could read military exercises in different way to fall prey to their influence operations. All of this put together gives us a pattern where things are not looking very bright going ahead. But I'm sure in this podcast, we are not talking about how India is responding. I'm sure India is responding very well because we see a lot of news of India constructing roads, bridges, newer brigades, etc. So this podcast is purely about China. But going ahead, yes, this put together is something that India needs to be cautious about. And I'm sure Manoj and I are coming up with a document. There will be more of that in that document. So I'll tell the listeners to hold on for a month or two till that document is released.
Yeah.
Sorry for plugging it very smoothly.
No, that's a very good plug, Suresh, because from the few glimpses that we've got of your document and what you've been working on, it really looks like you're coming up with something very interesting. But yes, we'll have to end today's episode. But thank you so much, Suresh, for joining us and for really giving us a sort of insider view into what's going on inside the PLA. And as a result, making sense of what is happening along the border with India. So thank you so much for that, and looking forward to doing many more such episodes with you and discussing your document with you as well.
Thanks, Arif. Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us on All Things Policy.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM Podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week: Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank, and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.